I would sit in my house, exhausted, and think back on my childhood in rural Texas, when my father would sit with me at the end of a day spent working and ask me, "What do you want to do, Troy?" I knew the answer. I wanted to be a wife and mother, have a big family, the usual stuff. But I also wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to run my own business, just like Dad. "Well, how are you going to make that happen, Troy?" Dad would say as we watched the beautiful Texas sunset. He wasn't patronizing me. He really wanted to know. Even at 10, I knew the answer, because Dad had taught me well. I would go to college. I would get a good job and learn a business. I would look for an opportunity, a hole in the market nobody else had seen, and I'd fill that hole with whatever was missing from the world. Then I'd sell it. I'd sell the product, the idea, the service. I'd sell them on myself. I didn't know what my business would be. Maybe horses. I loved horses as a girl. Still do. Or maybe insurance, because that was Dad's primary business. It didn't matter, because what I wanted was to create something of my own. Be the boss. Sell. Succeed. I imagined sitting on a front porch, just like my childhood porch, when I was an older woman, which to my 10-year-old self probably meant 40. I'd have my handsome husband beside me, my kids and grandkids around me, and hundreds of friends spreading over my little corner of the world, laughing and carrying on. And I'd be in the center, the queen, because my business would have provided for them all. It didn't work out that way. I got the handsome husband and sons, but I had to give up my entrepreneurial dreams, and for 24 years, my life felt small. For a while, it felt like my world shrank every year, until it was just me, in my house, by myself, taking care of my 3 boys, 2 of whom had special needs. And the smaller my life got, the harder it was to hold it together, and the more down on myself I became. On my worst days, I resented my husband, my sons, the friends who had left me behind. I felt lonely, and I felt guilty about that loneliness, because I knew I should have been happy living for my family, because my family needed me, and they loved me, and how could I be angry about that? Then, in my late 40s, I found my hole to fill in the last place I ever would have looked. I found it in moonshine. I'm probably not who you think of when you think of a moonshiner. I don't have a name like Willie Carter Sharp. Okay, I guess Troilon Wigginton Ball is pretty close. But I don't have Willie's childhood in the Appalachian Mountains, or her teenage years working in an overall factory, or her diamond-studded teeth. That was the detail that caught America's attention when Willie Carter Sharp went on trial in 1935 for running carloads of illegal shine 2 or 3 times a day, 365 days a year, for 10 years. More than enough runs, at $10 a pop, to pay for any kind of teeth she wanted. I'm from Texas. I grew up comfortable, first in the suburbs, then on a ranch. I've always lived in good houses in nice neighborhoods. I wear boots, but the fashionable kind, and I always wear my pearls. If you saw me, you'd probably think I was just another nice southern wife with an SUV and a lunch date at the Junior League. You'd almost be right. But I never joined the Junior League, and truth be told, I was never going to be happy lunching with the ladies. And that's where my road and Willie Carter Sharp's meet. When the reporters asked her why she ran Shine, Willie said, "It was the excitement got me." It was the excitement of white whiskey, a.k.a. white lightning, a.k.a. Mountain Dew, a.k.a. moonshine, that got me, too. As soon as an old mountain man handed me a mason jar of the Keeper Shine, as he called it, I wanted to learn everything about it. I wanted to make it, then make it legal. Shootouts with the law, Willie said, made her feel alive.